recorded live.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have a show for the women in your lives that features three female moderators and runs tonight at the exact same time with the exact same topic. You can get more info about either show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Again, that website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in either one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So if you're a man, please dial 724-444-7444, then 598-98-POUND. Again, that number, 724-444-7444, then 598-98-POUND. Finally, 1 pound for your pen. So call in and let your voice be heard on the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical, race neutral, so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that's it. The virtual talk shows always present the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic, the things we do for love, getting back to the basics of love and romance. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot, your DJ, a painter, and a ventriloquist for the evening. More on that later. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion by 11 p.m. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's fine, too. And I do still have this. That's the seatbelt sound when you're on an airplane. When you hear that sound, it means to take your seat and buckle your seatbelts because it's about to get a little bumpy.
All right.
That sound is just to put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable. And, fellas, I'm predicting that there's going to be a whole lot of turbulence tonight. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right. With all of that said, let's get started. What is romance, or what does it mean to be romantic?
Well, I'm gonna start off with that. My opinion of romance, you know, as far as with a woman, you know, I'm going back my past relationships. Not only that, I believe, you know, a good man and a good woman both seeing eye to eye, and both on the same page, whether it's they in a life together or whether it's they are planning a future together or whatever. When a man and a woman see eye to eye, 9 times out of 10, him and her are going to end up romancing each other. You know, she's going to do whatever she needs to do for him. He's going to do whatever he needs to do for her. But my thing about romance is that, okay, how long is it going to last?
Okay, all right, hold that thought, sir. Anybody else?
Right.
What is romance? What does it mean to be romantic? Going to Webster's Dictionary. Y'all know y'all better be prepared when y'all come on with me. Your definition of romance or to be romantic? Anybody want to follow up on what the brother just said? Does anybody know?
I don't know if anybody actually knows. I just think it's something that we just try to win. You know what I mean? It's, you know, if you can actually, you know, find out what your partner, you know, likes, what they dislike, bring them to a certain point where maybe it's complete ecstasy, complete blissfulness, you know, something that makes the toes curl, you know. Something of that nature. You know, I think you just kind of find your way how to do romance just depending on what your partner is feeling or how they are feeling when you're doing whatever you're doing. I believe that that's you know, romance to me.
Good words, good words. Yeah, romance is, you know, by definition means to court or to woo, to treat with chivalrousness, characterized by preoccupation with love or by the idealizing of love or one's beloved, displaying or expressing love or strong affection, ardent, passionate, or fervent. Next question. While dating, should the man always have to make the first advances or the first move? While dating, should the man always have to make the first advances or the first move?
Absolutely no.
No.
No? Why not? Explain. Somebody explain that.
Well, I'm going to explain from my point of view. I'm going to say no because I've been in a predicament like this before as far as I always have been the one. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, you a man. You know, you want to do what you need to do for your woman. And I did that, you know. I did everything from a chocolate cup of strawberries to the rose petals and, you know, what a real man would do for his woman. You know, I definitely did that. Then it was like, as time passed, it was like, okay, well, I wasn't really going to say, like, well, I'm going to see what she going to do, you know. But we both put, she did her part and I did my part. But it's like as time passes, like, things kind of died, you know. It was like, she, you know, I stopped doing some things for a point of time just to see, you know, if she would, you know, put forth effort. You know, because I felt like I was always the one putting forth effort. So, and it was like when I would ask that question, I was like, okay, you know, you used to do this, 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 and this. Why you're not doing it? And it was always an excuse. So, but when it really came down to it, fellas, y'all know what I'm about to say. Her mind went somewhere else. You know, so my thing about that is, you know, I don't really believe, I mean, being a good man, I feel that he should do whatever he need to do for his woman. But it's always, as far as making the first move, I really don't think it should be the guy all the time. It should be the guy most of the time, but not all the time, you know. All
right, good words, good words. Hold that thought, hold that thought, hold that thought. Anybody else, anybody else? Should the man always have to make the first advances or the first move?
No, no, no.
Speak on it, speak on it.
Oh, me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why not? Because I think that it should be a mutual thing. And that's only way a relationship can actually work is because if both put in 50% and complete the whole.
Good word. Good word.
Right.
Anybody else wanna follow up on that? While dating, should a man always have to make the first advance or the first move?
No, because I think that. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, brother.
I just think that as a man, and I can kind of speak on that, you know, even from past experience to right now experiences, what will happen is they become comfortable.
Yes. Don't start something you can't keep up.
The whole initiation, you know, aspect, you know, for a man to say, okay, you know, of course, we always ready to get in, but, you know, if you are always the one to start it, you know what I mean, you don't know if she's ever willing to do it unless, you know what I mean, she's just being submissive. And that doesn't mean she's into it like you are.
Right, right. Good words, good words. Do y'all think it's a turnoff if a woman is too aggressive? Is that a turnoff?
Nah.
No? Okay, speak on it, brother.
I think the only reason why I say that is because, you know, in my marriage now, I don't think she's aggressive enough. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't know what could be a turnoff if it's not already happening. You know what I'm saying? So if it's not happening, I'm waiting to see. You know what I'm saying? Throw me somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, man. Anybody else, fellas? Is it a turnoff if the woman is too aggressive? Is it a turnoff? Anybody? I know somebody got something on it.
Yes, I do, but I don't want to elaborate. I'm just going to, like, make a quick comment on it, okay? Because you want examples, and I'm not willing to give examples, okay?
Okay. All right, that works. We appreciate it, brother. We appreciate it. Anybody else? Is it a turnoff, women too aggressive? Too aggressive.
So are you saying as far as have you ever been with a woman that's been aggressive?
Any case. I mean, have you? How was that? If you have, speak on it.
Ah, wow. No, not really. Not really with me. I mean, you know, like I said, I can only look back at what of all the hardship that I've been through, you know, with women. You know, as far as being aggressive, I mean, my son's mother, her attitude was just too aggressive and too ruthless. I mean, it was always everything had to be her way. And if I bring something up, okay, well, why did you do this or why did you do that? I mean, it was always always something, you know.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking about romance, like aggressive as far as,
well,
you know,
as far as,
romance
as far as, as far as romance, I mean, I've never really had a woman being aggressive towards me. It was always, you know, a time-taking thing, you know.
Okay, good words. Hold that thought right there, because the brother said something, and I heard him, and what I want to do is I want to play back what he said, because y'all might have missed it. So listen to this.
You know, I think about what my mother has always told me. Peyton, don't start nothing that you know you can't finish. You know you can't keep up. If you started out the gate doing all these nice things, and then we get married, and all of a sudden they start to disappear.
There you go.
That brother said, you know, don't start nothing you can't finish. And the question I want to ask, is, are we generally more romantic while dating, but less romantic after the wedding? What are some of the things that you used to do for her that you no longer do or haven't done in a while? That's the question I want to ask. Are we more romantic while dating and less romantic after the wedding?
I believe that statement is actually true.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe you're more or less than romance after you get married because you're in the house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, hey, I mean, we're married. Let's get the business.
Yeah. She right there, you right there, so what's the point of romance, right?
Right.
Good word, good word.
I believe romance is in the courtship, you know what I mean? You're doing everything, you're doing all the right things to get her, you know, and after that, after you actually, you know, achieve what you're trying to achieve, I mean, it's up to, you know, it's up to both of you to keep it going, but it just becomes... It becomes less and less of a factor to be romance because you're a husband, she's your wife. You know what I'm saying? It's only normal, you know what I mean, that you're going to have sex, but if you're going to take it to a romance level, it's one of those things that are few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Good words, good words. Anybody else?
I can't relate on that. Like I said, you know, I'm not in a relationship right now, but as far as things that I used to do was only because we weren't seeing eye to eye. You know, that's the only time that I stopped doing what I was doing because I was just like, you know, pretty much just, you know, fed up and I just stopped everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good words, good words. Anybody else?
So,
more romantic while dating? Go ahead, P-Town.
But, I mean, you got to think about it, man. I think it's a different type of romance after you get married. I mean,
Right.
You know, I'm not going to do the exact same thing. I might still bring the flowers home, but that means I got in trouble.
Right.
You know, to your wife, it might be meaning behind your romance. I mean, what you being romantic for?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after years of marriage. I could be wrong, but I believe sometimes after you go through years and you stop for a while, maybe you try to rekindle something that now is meaning behind it, and now you gotta conversate what that meaning is.
Mm-hmm.
So you choose not to be romantic.
Right.
Good words. And to those that struggle in the area of romance, why is being romantic such a struggle for you? I mean, is it just not in your nature, or does your lady not like spontaneity or something? I mean, why do you say, you know, that you struggle in this area? And that's for anybody or the brother that was just speaking. Why do you think being romantic is such a struggle?
Well, I wouldn't really say, you know, you put the word struggle on it for myself. I would say more of the fact that it becomes a challenge. And the reason for that is because, you know, sometimes you don't get the thanks that, you know, or the response that you may have gotten at one point, or just in general, like, thank you, I appreciate that. You know, it becomes one of those things where it becomes expected, or if it has been a lag in doing something, you know, it becomes more of, well, yeah, I was wondering, I hadn't seen this in so long, and blah, 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 instead of just saying, you know what, thank you, this really brightened my day, it's made my day, or whatever it may be. So that definitely will put a damper on romance and chivalry.
Mm-hmm. And especially, just following up on what you just said, brother, has anybody ever had that female coworker or female friend tell you, you are so romantic? You know,
yep.
I wish I could be in her shoes.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
That becomes a problem. And we talked about that, you know, friendships of the opposite sex a few weeks ago. But so basically what you're saying, brother, is that she's unappreciative now, it's like, hey, what's the point?
Right.
And if I can just add on, it's also the fact you talked about this on another call way back in the past, is that it's the fact that you have to schedule things with your wife now. So you got to schedule romance.
See, and I said that before when we were having that discussion. That just seems like a romance killer. If I got and my BlackBerry and my calendar, my any of that stuff, if I have to schedule it, that just doesn't seem romantic. You know, I mean, that doesn't seem romantic at all.
Anybody else?
If I could add something to that. Yes. What I was in a relationship, and what I noticed is that a lot of things are expected. So, for example, let's say Valentine's Day, her birthday, you know, anniversary. All those things are expected. But what makes it romantic, and this is something I can add from personal experience, is that if you do something just on a regular day, let's say you come home with flowers on a day that there's no special occasion, and you just present it to her, it means a lot more than the actual occasion, that if there's something going on, or if there's, say, for example, nothing's going on, it's a normal day, you come home with flowers and you give it to your, you know, significant other, it means a lot more than if you would do it for her birthday.
Right.
I mean, those things, you know, I know that I did lack certain things in my relationship, but that's not the reason, you know, why it ended. It's just things, romance basically gets on a becomes a different level of romance when you're in a marriage, obviously. I mean, those things are, I mean, most women understand that too, but you just have to have that level of surprise, and by doing something out of the ordinary, you can bring that back in.
Exactly. Like going bungee jumping or something radical. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, if you literally say, you know, we're going bungee jumping, your wife be like, or your lady be like, whoa. You know, because, I mean, it's something just like it's out of the norm. I ain't never bungee. I don't know if anybody on the call is. But, I mean, literally, if you were to say we're going bungee jumping, honey. Now, you don't think that'll spice some stuff up? She'd be like, whoa, you know. And you may have a lady that's like, you know, yeah, you can go by yourself. But, you know, for the most part, you might say, hey, let's do it, you know.
I think more of the this is kind of speaking on my, you know, my personal experience is it becomes a struggle for me, is because when it when you do it once and you've always done it, once you slip up and not do it, you kind of get ridiculed about it.
Yeah.
So, you don't do this like you used to anymore. You know, why don't you do that anymore? I think that's more of a struggle, is when you slip up and not do what you normally did. You know what I mean? And it becomes a time factor. And like my man said, it becomes a planning factor. You know, busy lives, busy work schedules, you know, school schedules, things like that. You come home at the end of the night, and you're thinking that what you're doing is romantic. You know, you caressing it, you touching it, you know what I'm saying? But you're touching that for 5 minutes. You ready to get going and about time to go to bed. You know what I mean? You know, a romantic side of intimacy and everything, that takes time. If you really going to, quote, woo your woman, that's not no 5 minute thing. You know what I mean? That's drop your kids off at the grandparents, and, you know, y'all in the house, you know, candles lit from top to bottom, you know. And, you know, it's like once you don't engage in that kind of romanticism, you know, you start to fall short on both sides, that's when it becomes a struggle.
Yeah.
Like, you almost have to kind of remember how you did it. Or even when you did it then, it was so good that they won it the same way you did it before, but you might have slipped up and said, well, damn, how did I do it?
Yeah.
I thought what I was doing was good. You know,
yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just on that note, I mean, when is the last time, you know, the two of y'all just got away and just had some pure romance and fun? I mean, and I hope it wasn't your honeymoon. I hope that wasn't the last time, but I mean, when's the last time that y'all just got away and just had some pure romance and fun? Anybody?
It was Friday. It's Friday.
Man, that was last month for me, or I didn't have no kids for a whole month, man. It was the most beautiful thing I ever had in my life.
For a month,
grandma's, man, this is great.
Yeah, for a month, sound like, you know, they might have a little brother or sister on the way. Never know.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Right.
You know, I mean, like I said, with me, it was last Friday. And I even said this, which kind of made a note a little bit, you know, because we took the bike out. We went riding on the bike. It was just me and her. And, you know, once I got back and everything, I said, you know what? I said, that actually felt like we would just start dating again. You know what I mean? Where it was just her and I. You know what I'm saying? You know, we always got the kids, love the kids, love doing things with the kids. When you lose that connection, you know, and just for a couple of hours of spending time together, and, you know, just saying, hey, man, that's like when we first met, we first started dating. I said, that's how I felt sitting across the table from you. That, you know what I'm saying? That's even the little words, man, ain't got to be any kind of touching aspect. You say something like that, I mean, that kind of all brings it back also.
Good words. Anybody else?
Well, I've been out of my relationship for about 4 months now, but when I was in my relationship, I mean, she had a daughter, and, you know, I had my son and everything, and, I mean, we always made time, you know, as far as the romance, you know, especially on the weekends or Valentine's Day, you know, we always made time, whether we had to find babysitters or whether we did something with the kids first, and the kids went to sleep, so, I mean, you know, we pretty much made time as far as romance went, you know.
Good words. And on that note, you know, listen to what this brother says about it. Y'all listen to this. It's about 60 seconds.
When I first started dating my wife now, you know, my thing, you know, I hadn't found the Lord as of yet at that point. So I was still tough, and I would take her with me, and we would drink, party. I mean, we had a ball. When I say fun, and it led to a lot
the
of
person
things.
You have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que usted ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. Switch 753. The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que usted ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. Switch 753.
So now we got a straight flight without that.
The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que usted ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. Switch 753. The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que usted ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. Switch 753.
With your wife, it's healthy.
Healthy, fellas. When it comes to romance, did y'all even have anything established in the first place? And what I mean by that, besides going clubbing, or going dancing. I mean, what else did y'all used to do for fun that you no longer do? And I'm not just talking about y'all just having a lot of sex. You know, I mean, what did y'all do for fun that you no longer, you know, like the brother said, you know, he just got his little jig on and it was cool, you know, and now it's like, when can we go dancing? You know, what do y'all think about that?
Well, okay, like I said before, you know, I know some of these brothers on here are married or in relationships, and like I said, I can only relate on my last relationship, which lasted 10 months. We did everything together. We went bowling. We went to the beach. We went to things that I had going on for kids here in Salisbury. We went to that. I mean, we did on the weekend. Like, okay, if money wasn't right, you know, I would either go over there or I sure would come on my house, would sit back and watch movies, wherever the case may be now. All of that, like I said, all of that stopped once. We both had, like, you know, had our differences on certain situations, you know. Because I was old-fashioned and she wasn't, you know. I believe that we were supposed to do certain things. She believed that we weren't supposed to do certain things. So it's like we clashed. So, I mean, obviously, evidently, you know, we broke up. So now it's like that's when all of that stopped. So, I mean, that's, I can only relate, you know, meaning my situation stopped because we definitely wasn't on either. She definitely was on my spiritual level. So that's what I can say about that.
Anybody else, you know, besides going clubbing, going dancing, what else did y'all used to do for fun? One brother said he went bike ride, you know. What else? I mean, talk to me, fellas. Talk to me.
Well, I think it all depends. I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, you know, are there things that you did for more so for you versus for her? You know, and then likewise, the other way, where you would do things that were more for her, but you were just, you, of course, were part of it. Because I know for me, like, one of the things that we used to do that we haven't done in a while is she would play video games with me. You know, that was interesting, you know, for her to get in and play video games with me. We don't really do that that much anymore. And we she used to go to the gun range with me. She doesn't do that anymore either. So those are two things that, in my book, were romantic because these were things that I was interested in, things that, you know, definitely I valued and enjoyed having her be a part of. And here lately, she hasn't had an opportunity to do that as much. So, and then likewise, I'm sure she probably has some things that I used to do that I really haven't done that much either.
Words, good words. Anybody else? Stuff that y'all used to do for fun, you no longer do, kind of wish you do. Does the amount of money y'all have in the bank play a role in determining the amount of romance?
Yeah. It shouldn't.
Speak on it, brother. Speak on it, brother, that said it shouldn't.
I mean, it shouldn't. Romance can be simple. Romance can be a picnic blanket, a picnic basket, a blanket, glass of red wine, I mean, a bottle of red wine, a bucket of chicken. with some white bread, you know what I mean?
That's
a little bit of hot
man.
Sauce. And you know, you just go to a park.
Make the bed salty.
You know? Spend $15
right.
bucks.
Right, right.
And make a day of it. Take a book, read to her.
Reading in the park. That's what's up, brother.
Reading in the park.
With the picnic basket.
Yeah. Sometimes we think we got to go all out, and that's what they want. But they don't really want that. They just want the time. I mean, if you got a woman that likes to go all out, you know, that's a whole other issue. But mostly I think they just want the time. They just want you to be creative and surprise them.
Good words, good words.
You know what I think that with my wife, I think that it was and it still is kind of romantic to her. And that I do admit that I have lacked in this department is actually even just holding the hands while we're walking in places. You know what I mean? Of course we have kids, and of course we have to kind of keep a watchful eye on our kids and discipline and everything like that. But it's like, I miss the time too. You know what I mean? I miss the time to, you know, where you get to walk through the mall and you actually get to clean your lady. You know what I mean? You hold your hands. You know what I'm saying? Instead of walking in front of her or walking behind her. You know what I mean? To me, that's kind of romantic. It's romantic for her too. You know what I'm saying? It's those little things that, you know, sometimes we even think about that kind of means the world to them as far as romantic. You know, it's just that little thing.
Good word. Good word.
Hey, Rodney.
Yes, sir.
This goes back to your topic of brownie points. You know, women like to talk about their men.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's small, if it's big, they just want to feel comfortable and they want to brag on their man.
Well, I don't know if they'd be bragging if it's small, but go ahead, brother.
I mean, but yeah, yeah.
Some of y'all get that
right.
Tomorrow.
You're right. I got it.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
But like my man Paul said, that walk in the park, just talking, looking up at the stars, you know, a fucking chicken sitting out there on a claw, shooting the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they be really just spill the beans to all their girlfriends how sweet their husband is. That's all they really want.
Yeah. Yeah, good words, good words. Anybody else? The amount of money y'all have in the bank, does that play a big role in determining the level of romance? But do y'all find it difficult to do something as simple as turning all the electronic devices off and just sitting and talking, having a quality conversation?
No, I don't find that difficult at all, to be honest with you.
All right.
I think that, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. You know, and that time and that place, especially for electronic devices, is when you go to work. When you get to the house, I think we get so busy, you know, we have a routine. Come on, we have a routine, we have the day, the kids get ready for bed, the kids read the Bible, and we kind of sit around, we're down in the living room together. And I think that wholesomeness, that family environment, you know what I mean, is, you know, that's that time. You know, because the next day you got to do it all over again. And to be honest with you, you know, for me, I don't get to see them, you know, I'll say 4 hours out of the day. You know, when they come home from school, we go to soccer practice and come back then, you know, those things like that. I mean, that's 4 or 5 hours right there. And then we're back in the bed going to sleep. So, I mean, you know, that time means a lot. You know, and I don't think that, I don't think that plays a major part, especially in my situation.
Good words, good words. Anybody else find it difficult just sitting in the room? Because, I mean, sadly, some couples have absolutely nothing to say when just sitting in a room together. I mean, that's not odd. But, I mean, do y'all think that every human being has the capacity to be romantic? Do you think every human being has the capacity to be romantic?
Even Tupac was romantic at a time.
Exactly. Do y'all think every human being? Go, brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
I was just gonna say. I believe so. I believe, you know, from the hardest dude to the most sensitive dude, from Tupac to Rob Chesnut, I believe that everybody has the capacity, you know, to be romantic. I mean, you know, there is someone for everyone.
I agree with that.
You find that special one. I don't care if you're the hardest brother, man. You're gonna do what you gotta do, you know, to win that lady open.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
my thing is definitely is, you know, you definitely gotta, you know, if you're in a relationship, definitely try not to be somebody that you're not, because once you do that, you're definitely going to get off track as far as your woman goes. You know, as far as you being yourself and you being romantic the way that you want to be romantic, and she accepts that, you know, you definitely gotta go on. You're definitely a good person. So just remain, be who you are. And if nobody can respect the person that you are as far as you being romantic, then, hey, I mean, what else can you do? You can't be somebody that you're not. So just be who you are and definitely be who you are as far as being romantic.
Good words. And to those that have no problems in this area, are you ever at a loss for creativity, you know, when it comes to romance? You don't have any issues with being romantic. The brother said, you know, he just sit and talk, bike ride, or whatever the case may be. Is anybody ever at a loss for creativity when it comes to being romantic?
No, I've always been... Like I was saying a while ago, be who you are. I know who I am as far as if I know that I have a good woman, I'm definitely going to be creative. Like I said earlier, chocolate covered rose, strawberries, the rose petals, and, you know, candles lit around the tub and stuff like that. So that's being creative, because, you know, that's what I want to do for my woman. So, I mean, somebody else may be different. You know, they might use creativity, bike rides or dancing or something like that.
Good words, good words. Anybody else have any trouble with, you know, just losing the juices? You know, it comes like, man, what am I going to do for her this time? Y'all ain't never faced with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bit exhausting, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, it's a bit exhausting because you got, you know, you thinking about this stuff, you're putting these opportunities together, whether they're basic, you know, simple things like having a conversation over dinner, you know, or going all out for a weekend getaway or something. You know, it does come down. It's just exhausting at times to really put all that effort and energy in, especially when you don't necessarily get a simple thank you or something back to the degree that you would expect. No, and I think it ultimately comes down, you know, with the romance piece to about the communication. I mean, if it's not effectively communicated as to what is deemed romantic by the other person, because I think ultimately as humans we have a tendency to do what we would expect. We do what we would expect done for us or what we would like instead of really knowing what that person is liking. And I found that out the hard way. So ultimately what happens then, you know, like I said, you know, now in my mind in some aspects is, man, this is exhausting. The time and energy to put into this is, I don't even know.
Good words, good words. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I think I understand what he's saying as far as it, you know, becoming exhausting. I just think it's, I think it's a thing where, like you said, you put the time and the effort in, you know, at the end result, you're thinking to yourself, and you wonder what she's thinking. Was that enough? Is that what she was looking for? And ultimately, when you don't get that thank you, when you don't get that, you know, it doesn't have to be a simple thank you. It could just be the look on her face. It's not the look of the appreciation. It's like you exhausted all measures.
Right.
So, I mean, I definitely can understand where he's coming from. You know, I mean, I used to do, you know, those creative things, like, you know, especially like when I was in the military and I was in New York, and she was still, you know, she was here in Delaware. You know, I can remember one time, I picked a day where I just came straight from New York. I had to be in formation at 7 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? I was like, man, I miss her so much. I'm just going to show up. And I showed right up there at work. And the whole time throughout the day, I think I was calling her. You know, just kind of having a conversation. She had no idea that I was on my way. And by the time she walked out of the building, I was sitting in the cross parking lot looking right at her. And I mean, it was, you know, it just kind of, you know what I mean? Like I said, it's just real simple. You know what I'm saying? You know, kind of, you just want to see the, you know, the response in her face. Is she lit up about it? You know what I mean? Is she putty in your hands after that? You know, is she yours for the taking after that? Is what you did good enough? And I basically, you know, I mean, I think that's really what we look for. You know, it's not no simple thank you. It's like, you know, hey, I put forth that good effort for the end result to say, you know, what did you think?
Exactly. And it's close to 9:45, and I've got an idea, you know, as far as when it comes to creativity. Y'all check this out. Just doing something as simple as getting dressed up and acting out a porno without the video cameras, fellas, without the video cameras. What about something as simple as that? Now y'all know why I played the porno music.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, that's not in the ones I remember.
I mean, what about that? You know, something as simple as getting, you know, acting out of porno, you know? As the brother said, you know, you put in that, you know, put in that work.
That's right. Gonna be too many.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's gonna be too many questions that's gonna be asked. Where you learn that from? What is this?
Or what it becomes is it becomes a comedy show because you end up laughing and being like, what are you doing?
So I think you got to have that kind of wife, though. I think you
say that.
I think your spouse has got to be open for whatever.
That's true.
For whatever.
That's very true.
Yeah, just like the brother said, man. Somebody's going to, either one of us may come home and try that tomorrow, and it'd be like, well, what chick was you doing that with?
Right.
You know.
That's a lot of questions to be answered right then.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't never seen this before. What is this?
That's when you hit him with, yeah, you know who the chick was. I believe it was you when we were dating.
Yeah. Yeah, Rodney, it's funny that you should mention that because remember the last Christmas party we got those sex toys?
Yes.
And I got a lap dance kit.
Right?
So one night I say, hey, let's try to work this lap dance kit. She's like, I don't even like that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, that didn't go too well.
Take it right at your sale.
You know, but the out that I had was, you know, well, we did get it from a Christmas party, so it's not like I was somebody else gave it to me. You know, we both got it together, but
exactly,
it just didn't go over too well because that just wasn't her thing.
And see, I'm in the same kind of same boat as you, but it was like, you know, you received the gift, and she went to, you know, one of those parties, and she bought the gift home, and then I started looking at her like, what's that for? You know what I mean? Like, what is all that? You know, we got an ego to uphold. So, you know what I mean? We think you don't need nothing else but this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For something to try to enhance it, it's almost like you kind of reluctant to be like, what? Hold up now. What? And when am I supposed to use this? You know, at the same time when I'm trying? Nah, this ain't, no. In the box.
Good words. Has anybody tried that?
Try
successful,
what?
Successful, acting out the porno joint. Has anybody tried it? Successful or unsuccessful?
Yes.
Success. Yeah. All right, that's what's up. See, we got some success. See that?
No, I think that, and I'm going to tell you, we acted out mostly is after we, because a lot of our friends, we got married before a lot of our friends, and the couples that, couples of, you know, friends of ours, and, it just seems to happen, like, after every wedding. You know what I mean? She's looking her, man. So it's like you're sitting there all night, you dancing with her. Like you said, now you're out dancing with each other. You know, you're bringing back that spark of the things that you used to do. And every time she get in the house, it like the dress doesn't come off. But, I mean, it's almost like some, you know, wall smashing. The couch this way. You know, on the bar stool that way, all that stuff.
Brother,
bar
you,
stool around, yeah, all that.
I think you just brought up something. Literally, I mean, the wedding. Literally, always try to every wedding you want to be. Yeah, we coming. Yeah, we gonna be there. Absolutely. You know, if you get an invite, definitely. As the brother said, you know, they just. You know, you're dancing there. You're looking good. The kids ain't around, hopefully, you know. It's just a good, you know, as the brother said, you know, it's just some good times, you know, after that wedding is over. Because it just brings back those memories from your wedding day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and as the brother said, you know, you put in that work. And speaking of work, is the fact that you're a workaholic. Affecting your romantic skills? Are you too focused on the wrong things?
They all.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
What's up, brother? Welcome. So is the fact that, you know, you're a workaholic affecting your romantic skills?
Definitely not. I never had a problem with that. Never.
All right. Well, let me speak to somebody that has. I know somebody on this line has. Or does. And actually, one of them is not even on the line anymore because he's probably working.
It can.
I would say it has hindered my romantic
All right, speak on it, brother. Thank you for being honest. Speak on it, brother. Please share.
I mean, just because, you know, I used to work, and buddy of mine could vouch for that. I used to work 6 days a week, you know, 16, 17 hours a day.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, then come home and expect everything to be everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a problem. Yeah, that was a problem. Just my experience, brother.
Yeah, well, that's kind of mine, too. Because, yeah, I used to work crazy hours like that, too. And when you come home, you need a lot of time. Well, you need a certain amount of time to unwind and to get used to the home environment. And then you got to get your juices flowing to try to please your woman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then your mind is fried. It's just a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
And then they can only take but so much. You know, they can only take but so much excuses. Yeah, well, it's my job. I got to make this money. I got to do this. Got to do that. And you know, all they want is time and romance, you know. But that work thing could kill it.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? The workaholic affecting your romance? Y'all just won't admit to it, but should the husband always have to plan date nights, weekend getaways, vacations, or should the wife do some planning on occasion?
Hey, brothers, I'm going to have to exit the call. I got to take care of something. But I'll be back next Tuesday. This is Rodney, man, AM 930.
All right, that's what's up, fam. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Okay.
I'll repeat the question, fellas. Should the husband always have to plan the date nights, the weekend getaways, the vacations, or should the wife do some planning on occasion?
Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't even say occasion. It needs to be like a split.
Yep.
A split? 50-50? Speak on it, brother.
I really think that's the way it needs to be, because essentially what's happening is, the last statement is just made, the things about being a workaholic and coming in and having to get there and do this and you get your mind and please your woman, all stuff. I ain't want to say anything, but I guess it might be a chauvinistic view. But I think women ought to be doing most of this stuff anyway, planning this. And then when you come in and you actually provide something that's genuine and you have an idea that's out of the blue, that's when, you know, you ultimately will get that, probably that reaction that you're looking for and the things of that caliber. But if it's not going to be that way, it needs to be a 50-50 split. Isn't that what a marriage is in general anyway? It shouldn't be one person doing more than the other, because ultimately what ends up happening is that's what I think creates sometimes an opportunity for a person to run out of ideas or to keep that freshness to it. If I'm always expected to do it, you know, or you're always looking for me to take the lead, then when I have a drought, it's kind of like a batter in Major League Baseball. You gonna go into a slump every now and then. You need somebody else that can back clean up and you know, definitely step in and get some RBIs and put some people on base until I get my stroke back. You know, but in this situation, it seems like, you know, particularly with romance, that's what makes it a little frustrating. I think is if the expectation is that you are supposed to be doing all of this. And, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes when it comes to this romance piece, particularly with just thinking about it and my personal life and talking to friends, you know, it can get a little dicey because women do have these expectations for you to be doing these things and to be whining and dining them and doing all this stuff. And when I say whining and dining, I don't mean necessarily spending money going to restaurants and doing all those things. What I'm talking about is just always having this plethora of ideas and new ways to spin it, flip it, and bounce it and make it better. And to keep them just, you know, engaged, and it's bigger than that. You know, it needs to be, what are you doing to keep me engaged? You know, we need to be able to sit down and have this legitimately be a 50-50 type of thing where you come up with something, I come up with something, or we both throw some ideas in the hat, and we pick which one we like the best. But that's, again, going back to that communication, but the expectation of it just being one person more so than the other, yeah, that's gonna make it go sour fast.
Yeah, and I'll second that motion. And I also think that you got to know your strengths and weaknesses in the relationship. Like in my marriage, my wife is the planner. That's what she does. She loves it. I don't have to plan a thing. Unless it's something, you know, that I really want to do, but most times she plans it and I just got to make myself available for it. You know what I'm saying? But you got to know you know, because some guys may want to plan, and then they their idea of a weekend getaway is to go, you know, down the block or to the next town and visit their cousin, and they taking their wife with them, you know, somewhere that she may not necessarily want to go, you know. So you got to find out who in the marriage is good at actually planning, who has a passion for planning.
Good words, good words. Okay, fellas, good words. It's almost 10 o'clock. Want to do something different. Actually, I've invited a special guest on the line tonight. Are you there, honey?
Yes, I'm here.
My wife has actually joined us for the next few minutes, fellas. And as we talk about this subject, I figured that I'd rather you hear from her than from me. So for the next few minutes, and I promise, you know, we'll get back on track. But for the next few minutes, my special guest, my wife, will be speaking on this subject. So first question, honey, how long have we been married?
11 years.
Isn't our relationship perfect? I mean, is it safe to say that our relationship is the epitome of magical marital bliss?
No, I wouldn't say that.
we have a good
marriage, but I certainly wouldn't say it's perfect.
Yeah, magical in the sense that sometimes you want me to disappear, right?
Rodney.
Well, how come, back to the romance, how come I've always planned the events that we do?
Because I don't like to plan things, and I don't feel like I have the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Any other?
Well, and you enjoy doing it, so if you enjoy doing it, then I feel like you should continue to do that.
Okay, good words, good words. What did we do a couple weeks ago?
It was your birthday weekend, and we went to putt-putt golf, and, well, we played mini golf, I should say, and we went for a walk on a trail.
Okay, cool. So we went out, and we also went out to dinner, but how much did the mini golf cost?
I think it was like, what, $5 per person or something like that?
Yes, exactly. $5 per person, a total of $10. How much did getting access to the nature trail cost?
That was free.
So when did you come up with this idea?
Well, I had been talking to a coworker, and we had been trying to arrange that we would watch each other's children once a month so that we can have time with our spouse. So that's how we arranged it. It was, you know, we're going to do one Saturday a month, each of us.
So that way we get a date night and they get a date
mm-hmm.
night.
Right, right.
Okay. So how many times have you planned something for us since we've been together?
I don't know, Rodney. That's a hard question. Probably less than five.
Well, in 11 years, five times. Okay. Right. So why did you plan this now? I mean, why now? What was the, it's like I got to plan something this time. We got to do something.
Well, you know, we're reading this book called Love Languages, and one of yours is quality time, and so I knew that you would appreciate just having some time with me away from the girls, and so that was really the impetus behind me trying to arrange this date.
Good words. So from your perspective, you know, how did I respond? Was all the planning that you did worth it?
Yes, you were very, very happy.
So would you plan for something for us again anytime soon?
Yeah, I think I would, actually.
Okay. Do you already have some ideas in mind? Don't answer that. Last question, honey. What's one piece of advice that you could give to the guys listening tonight as it relates to getting to back to the basics of love and romance?
Well, if I had to just give one piece of advice, I think that studying that book, Love Languages, is really beneficial, especially if the couple does it together, because even though we've known each other 15 years and have been married 11 years, it was still really eye-opening for me, and I'm sure probably even for you, how we receive love, how we, you know, appreciate love in different ways. And sometimes you might just take that for granted that you know, and you really may not know.
Good words.
Good words, good words. Thank you, honey. We appreciate your time.
Good night.
Right.
Let's get back on track, fellas, because I had her do that. First, I guess, is there any questions I could pass along to her other than does she have a sister?
I was going to throw that question back out to you that you asked the group earlier, but I thought it wasn't, you know, appropriate.
Which one was that?
I'll tell you later. The movie question.
Oh, okay. I got you. But to answer that question, fellas, she does not have a sister, but she does have a brother, but he doesn't swing that way. So you're out of luck, you're out of luck. But, you know, fellas, y'all just really don't even know. You know, that's why I had her come on for a few minutes. I know this is the man show, but I was going to tell the story myself, but the fact that she told y'all she's only, you know, planned 5 events, roughly. That's one hand in 11 years. We've been together 15 years. So for her to do that a couple weeks ago, it was my birthday weekend, we went and played putt-putt golf. As we talked about before, it was inexpensive. It didn't take a whole lot of money, you know, but it was the thought. And just like the brother said, you know, it's the thought that counts. And literally, we went and played putt-putt golf, and we went on a nature trail. Simple as that. And she had the kids tucked away, so we didn't have to worry about nobody whining and all this kind of crazy stuff. So it was just good times. And you know, I'm still coming off of that high because my wife does not plan. I mean, that's not her thing. Like, I do the planning. I handle the money, you know, when it comes to vacations. You know, that's just me. So this just kind of came out of the blue. So I figured it'd be best to have her share because she could tell it better than I can. But getting back on track. Last month, we did a show entitled, if y'all remember, it was entitled, Say Hello to My Little Friend. Y'all remember that? In which we talked about that time of the month. During that time, are you purposely less romantic?
Yes.
Wow.
We getting back on track, fellas. I know I threw a monkey wrench in there, but we getting back on track. I got a lot more. So, are you purposely less romantic, and why? Talk to me. During that time of the month.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. Not at all.
Well, I say yes. Now, the reason why I say yes is because it. And this is why I've learned in the past. And we kind of touched on this earlier with the whole thing of romance and doing things, because particularly what happens is when you're dating and you do something romantic, both of you are kind of excited about getting to whatever the end result may potentially be. When you get married and you do things that are romantic, they start counting in their head the things that, oh, my goodness, where is this going? What are you going to want to do? What is this? Are you doing this because you want, because of all the things that are happening? So basically what I'm trying to say with the time of the month is, yes, I purposely do not do things romantic because she said it doesn't go anywhere. So what's the purpose of this? So it made me just basically say, you know what? Bump it. Not doing it.
Wow. Wow.
I'll wait.
So she said, no, just don't even worry about it, player.
Right, it's not going to go anywhere. You know, if you're thinking it's going somewhere, and even though I said, nah, you know, I just want to do something, yeah, you know, it wants to, you want to blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm tired of even hearing that. I'm sick of hearing that. So I'll wait.
Good words. Anybody else during that time of the month, you purposely less romantic? What about spending time Can spending time hanging out with other couples be considered quality time? And I'm not talking about swinging. You know, I'm talking about, you know, just hanging out with other couples. Is that, would that be considered quality time, y'all think?
Yes.
Explain, brother.
I don't think so.
Explain, brother.
It's nothing wrong with, you know, calling your boy up, you know, asking him, you know, bless you and your girl, you and your wife, you know, we can all go out and, you know, do something together. Quality time to me is quality time with your woman. That's just how I see it. That's what quality time means to me, is quality time with someone. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, your boy or brother, his wife, whatever, is not, you know, special to you or important to you. But my meaning of quality time is like for me and my son, it's just going to be me and my son, or it's just going to be me and my boy, or just me and my mother. You know, not me, my mother, this, that, yada, 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 yada. I can see if it was a family get together, but quality time is just me and my woman. That's
well, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it is a quality. Let's just say it is a family get together, and
right.
You have your woman there. That's not quality time.
Well, yes, like I said a while ago, like it's like a, you know, a family get together. It's like, you know, to me, it's like basically two different things. You know, if you
so
know
you're
that
saying,
a family
you're basically
get together,
saying that it wouldn't be necessarily considered as quality time, but it could be considered as quality
time.
Anybody else? I think that
any time we spend with our significant other that is not fighting, fussing, or doing the ordinary is quality time.
Say that.
And it could be going to Walmart. It could be going to the gas station. Like, I don't like my wife to fill up her gas tank sometimes, you know, because I want to pump the gas. So sometimes I say, come on, let's get in the car and go put some gas in your car. You know, to me, that's quality time. We're not doing much, but we together doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always have to be a controlled environment. It could just be, like I said, anything. When we get together with other couples and their kids, of course, I'm still affectionate with my wife. We'll still sit there and hug each other and, you know, and laugh and joke and have fun and watch the other couples intertwine and do whatever they got to do, you know, but we're all together having fun. It's quality time. You know, because I could be somewhere else and not be with her. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that you're with her, I think, expresses quality time.
The quality time with other couples, I mean, that whole concept doesn't that doesn't really seem like quality time. I think it all depends on what you deem, again, as quality time. Because when I see it, it's just me and my wife. You know, that's one of the conversations that we actually had a while back. Is I told her flat out, I said, I miss it just being us, to be honest with you. I love the fact that we have a child and that we have, you know, we're blessed with a healthy child in so many ways, but I miss it just being us.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's not that I'm, you know, jealous or anything like that, but it's the fact that.
You're going to get that back, though, brother, because your child is almost two?
Almost two.
Almost two, yeah. So once you get that permanent babysitter type where you can say, here, take this $50, watch my kid, you're going to get it back. We all.
I'm looking forward to that because it's definitely one of those things that the quality time is when I can just be with her and she can just be with me.
Yeah.
And the focus can just be on what we're doing. And we can definitely clear our minds, you know, and all that stuff and really just focusing on just being with each other. And it's bigger than, like, I think one of the things that was said just a little while ago, which is right on point, is, you know, doing things together. It's not being in the same space. Being in the same space is not quality time.
No.
right.
Some people say, yeah, well, we were both sitting there together watching TV. Well, that's not quality time. You were just in the same
space. Nah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. And
you need to be doing something where you're legitimately engaged in each other's conversation, thoughts.
Exactly.
And you know, being able to ask questions and basically contribute to the conversation, you know, and do stuff like that. And I just feel like, getting back to what you were saying, I just feel that sometimes when you do that with other couples, you know, you can get caught up in all the things that are going on with other couples instead of really spending quality time with your spouse or your significant other.
And you know what? And you're right. And you can get – that can be tricky. And I'll tell you why. Let's just say you got a pool table in the house. And you got three or four couples, and the fellas are downstairs shooting pool, and the women are upstairs talking in the kitchen or whatever the case may be. That necessarily may not be quality time that you spend if you're down there shooting pool with your boys. And your wife is in the house, but y'all not together. Now, another situation is everybody's sitting around having a conversation. She's bunned up with you. Y'all all talking back and forth and maybe eating dinner. Then that could be a situation where you're actually in that setting, but you're
right.
still spending time with your spouse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good words, good words.
I agree.
Good words, good words. And, you know, I want to talk about something that y'all mentioned, that transition period. Let me just play this. It's just 30 seconds. You'll get my drift. Listen to this.
When there's a baby in my belly, that's a whole other person right there. And he came to understand that, but it took him a couple times to figure it out. Because he didn't know what was going on. He thought his wife had really lost it, and you know, he was like, I thought I knew this woman, and I don't know her, and it was the hormones.
Fellas, is it harder to be romantic while she's pregnant with the mood swings, can't eat this or that, she's tired all the time? You know, we talked about the almost two-year-old, but let's talk about that transition period. Do you remember when she was pregnant? Was it harder to be romantic during that time period?
You know what? That question, I was just sitting there as you – I would say no, it wasn't hard, and the reason why is because at that time of her being pregnant, it really wasn't about romance. It was about me making sure that I just took care of her and got her the thing. So in my mind, and I think in both of our minds, it wasn't about romance. It was just about safety, eating healthy, doing things to make sure that our child is healthy, that we're doing things, you know, spiritually and you know, physically and all the things that go along with nutrition. So the romance... it wasn't hard because it really wasn't a priority. You know, it was more about us just spending quality time with one another and doing things to make sure that we were, one, taking care of her, who was carrying the child, and that was it. Like, honestly, when I think about it, we didn't really think about that romance.
But let me flip it then. You're saying that it made it easier to be romantic because if we go back to the top of the hour, which we said the definition of romance is displaying or expressing love or strong affection, passionate, fervent. So what you were doing, making sure that you drink your water, did you walk today, you need anything, you need me to rub your feet, what you were doing was being romantic.
You know what, now that you say it like that, wow, that's probably the first time I ever thought about it like that. Wow. You need to get pregnant again.
So look. That period ain't so bad now, huh?
Yeah, looking back on it, yeah, you're right, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I never thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's why I like to start it off with, what are we talking about, you know, with the definitions. But, you know, when it comes to the kid, when the kids get involved, fellas, I mean, with the full-time jobs, the kids' extracurricular activities, the kids' homework, the hobbies, other commitments you have, your wife has, where do we find the time to be romantic? Where do we find the time?
When they sleep.
When the kids sleep?
Definitely when the kids are asleep. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. I've been in a situation where me and my girlfriend knew, you know, what we wanted to do was spend time or whatever. We waited, put on a movie, kids fell asleep, and at the same time, we fell asleep. So me being a man, okay, all right, well, I need to wake up and go ahead and get this romance thing going on, you know.
Right.
So that's pretty much it. That's happened to me before. So definitely when the kids are asleep, definitely.
Anybody else? Where do we find the time, brothers? I think somebody said it, make time.
You got to make it.
Yeah, because everybody gets the same 24 hours in a day.
Right.
Got to be a priority.
But does it mean that we maybe have to give up some of our individual activities? Maybe you like the golf.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that, you know, can be some romance time in. I don't know what y'all think about that. Do we have to give up some of our individual activities?
Well, again, I think it goes back to it's got to be a 50-50, because if one person is giving up more than the other, there's definitely going to be some animosity and some resentment there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that goes both ways. I mean, if your wife's having to give up her, whatever, her book club or something, I mean, that could, and it's just her doing it all the time, but you're still playing all the golf you want. You still on the, you know, the rec league softball team doing everything you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to create a problem.
Right. Yep.
Good words. Has anybody ever done something with your lady that you don't particularly enjoy, but you know that she enjoys?
Every week.
What is it, brother?
Going to Target.
Going to Target? Okay,
Target.
Speak on it.
So it's one of those things where we get in that store, and I always joke with my wife, but the concept of the store is we are the target. It's us. We are the target. You cannot go in there and not spend $6 million. You know, it's one of those things where you get up to the line and you're just like, this is crazy. We got three items in here and it's like $70. Why is it this much money? And what also happens is she likes to really just take her time. She wants to go up and down the aisles. She wants to, even though the prices don't really change that much, you know, the things are the same space. So she wants to take her time, compare, and look at these items. You know, and me, that's just like, hey, we know we need to get, we made this list. We've been in this store a million times, so we know where it is. We're hitting aisle 3, 7, 11, and 22. 22A to be specific.
Whoa. Oh, man.
So every week, yeah, I mean, I go, I push the cart, you know, and I add my 2 cents. Oh, wow, what? 2 cents off? We got a coupon. You know, and
that's
and I do it.
Yeah, say that. Somebody tell him. Was
that's
it worth it, brother?
Time.
Was it worth it?
It is worth it. I mean, she comes out of there all happy and excited because it's family time. You know, all of us are there, you know, all of us are with the basket and everything, you know, and Yeah. So every week. Every week. Because ultimately what it comes down to is it's not even about the romance. It's just about her seeing her smile. That's it.
That's it.
That's what I do, the same thing. Ours is Walmart. And sometimes it'd be me initiating. I'd be like, honey, don't we need something from Walmart? And I may not need nothing. Because sometimes people go, I've had this discussion with people, they go to Walmart and need nothing. They just want to go in there because it's so cheap. And I'll be like, come on, get in the car, let's go to Walmart. And we'll walk up and down the aisle. And then sometimes we'll go to the supermarket. And for me, I may not need anything. But it's just the fact that we're in there together, walking around. We may find something, we may not. We always buy at least one thing. It's quality time.
Yeah. I used to call Walmart the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got everything in there, but
they got everything in there, and it's fun.
You know, I don't know about y'all, but I despise going to Walmart.
Yeah, I don't go to Walmart.
Yeah.
I can't do Walmart. It's Walmart. And I find myself becoming a character when I get in there with them characters. I can't do it.
Oh, man, good words. But, you know, we did find out that it was worth it. You know, you're coming out. You know, if somebody would be spying on y'all with a camera, they'd be like, look at that happy couple with the baby. Got a cart full of three things that cost them $80, but they smiling. Coming out of the Target or the Walmart. But it's 10:19, and usually we don't drop a monkey wrench at this time, but I'm going to drop one. Listen to this. 10 seconds.
Men have a desire to be with or have more than one woman at a time. And if you know, I think maturity is answering that question honestly. Not just saying, well, let me give the answer that is based on the social construct. You know, I think if you ask most men to answer honestly, if you had the privilege of having more than one woman, would you want that privilege?
Fellas, deep question here. Does monogamy inhibit our desire to be romantic?
Hmm?
Does monogamy inhibit our ability to be romantic, our desire? I'm going to step into this. This is the first step. This is step one. Does monogamy, the fact that just one, does that inhibit our desire to be romantic? Maybe.
You
have to
be frank with that one, man. You got everybody on silent.
Monogamy. Does the fact that, let me put it another way. The fact that, I mean, going back to the whole dating scene, you know, when you were dating or whatever, it was easy, you know, when you had one, when you talking to the other one on the side, if you did that, it was easy to be romantic with that one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With the chick on the side, you were more romantic with the chick on the side than you were with the main girl. That's what I'm talking about. Talk to me, fellas. Now that I'm painting the picture for y'all, talk to me. Does monogamy inhibit our desire to be romantic? Now that y'all know where I'm going with it.
I don't know if it inhibits it, but what it does is it creates a unique challenge. And mm-hmm. And what I want to say, I'm going to compare it to, you know, there's a new restaurant in town. You know, you go, you have it one time, you're like, you know what, everything that everybody's told me is right on point. I'm coming here next week. And then you come here the next week and the next week. And then you get to a point where you're just like, you know what, I'm going to try something different for a little while. But then 2 months later, you come back to that restaurant, and it's popping again.
Mm-hmm.
The same unique challenge, I think, that happens with regards to being monogamous in a relationship is the fact that, you know, with my food example, you can step out and do something different and come back to it and still get that luster and that excitement for that place. But when it comes to sometimes with, you know, a marriage, well, not sometimes, all the time. I won't say sometimes, make it seem like I'm not really in a marriage. When it comes to, you know, all of the time with regards to thinking about a marriage or a serious relationship, it's the fact that, you know, when you start having those lulls of time where you're just like, you know what, I don't know, and that goes for too long, that can create a unique challenge.
Good words, good words. And I'm going to frame it a different way because that was sort of out of left field. But I want to frame it this way. Listen to this clip.
You know, in the beginning, it's all wonderful and you're happy. And I think as things happen, and because we're never the same from day to day even, you know, every experience changes you. And so as you change and as you have these experiences with this person, good or bad, it alters who you are and how you interact with that person. And so you can't help but change. I guess it's both, you know, because on one end, you know, when it's fresh, you're, you know, like the sister said, you're making sure your eyebrows is done and making sure your feet are done every weekend. You know, in the beginning, because you're feeling that newness and it's that new car smell. You know, when you first get your car, you take it to the car wash every weekend, and the tires are all shined up pretty. But 2 or 3 years in, you're like, this thing is lucky if I just throw all the McDonald's out. You know what I'm saying? If I could just get the McDonald's and the baby bottles and them extra 3 pairs of sneakers out the car, you know, the car is clean. And so I think it just happens over time.
Has the novelty worn off, fellas? Does that make it more difficult for you to feel romantic? As the lady said, as the brother just said, it ain't new no more, you know. Has the novelty worn off?
I think that speaks to the heart of the matter that, you know, when you look at it, when folks start dating right at the offset, they are, for lack of a better word, strutting their peacock feathers and trying to show how great they are and how much, you know, they are worth and why this person and why this person should like them. And then after the person gets married, well, now the role changes. You can still be romantic, but the romance is not from the perspective of, oh, look how great I am, you should feel so lucky to be with me. But it's learning so much about that other person that the romance that you display is about how much you give to the other person not how much you take away from it. So I think that, you know, with the way we view relationships now, heck yeah, the novelty is going to wear off because we get into it thinking about what we're going to get out of it as opposed to what we can put into it and how we can build the other person up. I'll give you a little example. I mean, I know that this is probably a little far off base, but to take the example of the car, I'll be honest with you. I walked out of the stairwell of the parking garage in my building downtown, and I saw my car, because I had to work late, and I saw my car sitting over in this corner spot. And my car, it's not totally clean. It's got some dirt on it, and I've got, you know, baby books in the back seat, and there's a couple of stains in the back. But I saw this car when I walked out of there, and I had to look at it and say, damn, my car looks good. You know, it wasn't great, but I had just a swell of, you know, I really, really like my car, and I like how it rides, I like what it does, and I like all the features. No, it's not super perfect, it's not super clean, but I sort of, in my mind, had a moment where I reaffirmed the value of my car to myself. Now, what happens in our relationship when we reaffirm the value of our wives or the value of our significant others beyond the shaved legs and beyond the really nice hair and beyond how sharp they dress or how slim their bodies are, you know, if we can appreciate those things and romance those things after the glow phase is worn off, then heck yeah, we can still be romantic, and heck no, the romance doesn't have to wear off.
Good word.
Wow. Good word.
Anybody else? Novelty worn off? Good words, brother. Does that make it?
How does it happen, though? I mean, you know, we hear about it happening all the time, but what is the key root to that when the novelty wears off? Is it that we stop doing the things that make us want to be around each other? We don't appreciate our spouses any longer, or, you know, we take the old ball and chain route and be like, yeah, well, it's my wife, you know, it is what it is. I mean, how does that get to that point?
Anybody familiar with Gary Smalley? Gary Smalley helps to run a couple little programs. One, he's sometimes a part of the Weekend to Remember, and he does another like marriage ministry that you can kind of check out. But one of the things that he says that kind of answers that question is that everybody has a button, and when they get married, somehow or another, their spouse ends up hitting that button, whether it's insecurity, fear of finances, fear of something. It usually just has to do with something that triggers a visceral response in their partner that goes back to some unresolved, you know, issue that they may have about themselves or some insecurity. And when that happens, the response, he says, tends to be one of self-preservation. In a way, the person starts thinking about themselves and how to preserve themselves and how to take care of themselves, so that when their spouse hits that button, all of a sudden they stop thinking about their spouse, they start thinking about themselves, and that starts a real downward spiral where you can't be romantic if the first person you're thinking of is you and the last person you're thinking of is you.
Mm.
But that's what he said.
Good words, brother. Good words. Good words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to go into step three of what the sisters are talking about. This is the last clip for the evening. This is only 20 seconds. Listen to this, fellas.
Different spin on things from their perspective is, you know, what happened? You know, how come her eyebrows aren't arched anymore? How come, you know, she's not wearing those nice dresses all the time and those high heels? You know, what's going on?
What's going on? She's not wearing those heels anymore. Here's the question, fellas. Does the fact that she doesn't keep her... Does the fact that she doesn't keep her nails done, hair done, she doesn't keep herself up the way that she used to, does that make it more difficult for you to feel romantic?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, hands down.
For sure.
Got a lot of agreement on that. Somebody jump on out there. That struck a nerve.
I mean, certain things attracted you to your spouse. certain things set her aside from everybody else, from all the other women, from all the other women you used to date, you were looking at, whatever the case may be. Not to sound shallow, but we like what we see in men. I mean, you know, as men, we like what we see. We like the inner, but we like the outer too. And once they flip it to a point where it's like, okay, before you were wearing your business suits, you were doing your hair, you had the nice, you take a little bit more time with your makeup, you go get those eyebrows arched, you go get those nails done and all that good stuff that I learned to love about you. And now it's just you get up and you just roll and you just wear anything. You know, they get comfortable. And it's like, well, I'm married now, I don't have to do that.
Right.
You know. And then we're thrown for a loop because when we go to work, we see women that are still doing that. You know, and you're like, man, I remember when my wife used to do this stuff. But now I just got to look somewhere else just to get that visual, you know.
Good words. Anybody else? The fact that she doesn't keep herself up like she used to make it more difficult for you to feel romantic. Had a lot of agreeance on that. Good words, fellas. Good words. Who's more romantic, men or women? Who's more romantic, men or women?
You know, I'm going to go back to something that your wife said when she came on. But before I do that, I'm going to say I really don't think that it is gender-based. I think what your wife said was that, you know, I've let you do it because you love to do it. So I think it comes down to who likes to do it in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it.
Yep.
Good words. And I think even Tony said before that his wife is the planner. You know, and I don't know, as far as the romantic planning is that go into, when she's the planner. But, you know, I do enjoy, you know, doing it. I absolutely enjoy that. As the brother said, you know, that smile on her face, you know, because it's like a big surprise. I like to surprise her. You know, so I think it's, you know, it comes down to this. That's the answer that I had too, is not gender based. You know, it's just depend on whose personality, you know, fits that more. And the person that does not, you know, you have to work a little bit harder at it. Because it's not, you know, necessarily in your nature, you know, to do that by, you know, just, oh, I'm going to do this and this will be nice or whatever. Just being thoughtful. Just another question along those lines. Who's more guilty of being romantic only on special occasions, men or women?
That's a no-brainer.
Was a no-brainer.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to answer, but it's kind of like a no-brainer. You know?
we know it's us, huh? Or the men.
I mean, we get accused of it all the time. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Good words. But do our daily routines get in the way of romance? Is that why we're, you know, only romantic on special occasions? I mean, you know, the whole...
It's not as important to us. I'm just going to speak for two or three brothers because I can't speak for all of us. But I just think that it's more important. Those dates, those occasions, anniversaries, all that kind of stuff is normally more important to them than us. You know, and that's why we always forget. That's why we always have to be reminded. We got to send ourselves a text message on that date to remind us it's our anniversary or it's the wife's birthday. I just think that, you know, we have so many other things on our plate that kind of stuff just doesn't come across as important days like it does for them.
Anybody else?
It is not there. Not, you know, to them that would be considered critical. To us, it would probably be a moderate type of severity, you know, just, all right, it's another day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a day for my wife, so I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've actually coined a new phrase. It's called surprise intimacy. And what it means is that now you got those jobs, those bills, those kids, there's no more surprise intimacy.
Right.
You
right,
know, it just
right.
doesn't happen anymore. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, put the kids to bed. We got to do homework. Da 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 da. But,
I got news for you guys.
Yeah.
That have small kids. It's not gonna be forever, y'all. Just hang in there. Because I don't have any.
Know.
I mean, I still have kids, but they to the age where they can go spend a night at a friend's house or whatever, and they out the picture. Once you get back to that point, then you will start seeing your wife in a different. You'll start seeing your wife the way that you were promised to see her. You know what I'm saying? Where it's just you and her, just like the brother was saying, it's just you and her all the time making plans, getting rid of the kids. It's not a bad thing to get rid of the kids. Get rid of the kids if you can. You know, a lot of times they use the kids as an excuse. Well, you know, we got the kids. We can't find a good babysitter. No, find a good babysitter. There's people out there that will babysit your kids that you can pay.
Amen on that?
That yeah. you can pay. Spend that money and go out, take your wife out, do what you got to do. But don't use the kids as an excuse. And trust me, when
hey.
They get to a certain age, they not going to want to hang around y'all anyway.
Thank you.
Good words. Anybody else?
Well, I can definitely relate to that last statement that he made. Don't use your kids in this case. Like I said, I'm not married, but I could expect from my last situation. Well, it wasn't always romance. The romance thing was always there, but when you know when it came down to you know when it came down to the weekend, you know Friday, Saturday, or whatever. She, you know, it was always like, yeah, you know, I can't wait to be with you. But when it came down to you know actual phone conversations, talking to her, or whatever, and that's through the week, I never hardly heard from her. And like the gentleman said a while ago, it was always, oh, my daughter. But when it comes down to Friday and Saturday, okay, well, you all in my face and you want romance, so what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was one of our issues. I'm glad that gentleman said that because it brought memories to me. You know, it was always, I never heard from her. I never had a conversation with her, you know, because always, okay, well, My daughter that, that's why I can't talk to you here, that's why I can't talk to you there. But when it came down to Friday and Saturday, oh, man, I can't wait to be with you. I can't wait to get in the bed with you and yada, yada, yada. So I'm glad he brought that up.
Good words. Now, fellas, if I were to, you know, see, I had my lady on here at 10 o'clock, okay? But if I were to ask your lady, if I were to go up and ask her, would she say that you're romantic?
Wow.
If I rolled up on her and say, hey, Betty, is he romantic? What would she say? What would her answer be to me?
Mm-hmm.
What? Maybe?
Mine would say, yep.
Mine would start laughing.
Why would she laugh?
Because she would rather have to think about it. You know, and it would be one of those things that first off, she would probably try to say, where is this question coming from?
Yeah.
Nah. But, yeah, she would probably just have to think about it.
And also, speak to that. Sometimes we can never do enough. And I say this all the time. We try to be, you know, the best romantic husband that we can. And
nope.
Just like somebody said earlier, they don't get any appreciation whatsoever. When you know that you're romantic, but you're not seeing the accolades of it because they're not saying, oh, well, thank you, that's a great job, or whatever the case may be, then they would probably have to think about it or say no. Because in their eyes, you know, they don't see it, but you know you do it.
Right.
But don't you also got to know the definitions of from a female point of view of what romantic is? Because I remember hearing calls before that romantic to one of the guys who was on the phone, him taking the recycle bin to the corner.
I must have heard that a million times. Yeah.
You know, I think I heard another guy said, you know, he painted the room or something. You know,
cleaned the garage out.
Yeah.
Cleaned the garage out.
That was me. Yeah, you're right. Because romance is subjective.
Yep.
You know, because what, you know, putting the recycling bins down, I mean, it might, you know, do it for my lady or it might not. I mean, that's an excellent word, brothers. You got to know your lady because, you know, and it may, a lot of times, you know, we may be guilty of, you know, with a last lady, you know, she like this. Well, this ain't the last lady. You know, this is, you gotta, you know, remember that romance and being romantic is subjective. It's dependent on the individual. But I want to spin that whole thing around. Is she responsive to your emotional needs? Is she romantic? If I were to roll up, you know, I'm asking you right now, you know, is she romantic? What would your answer be? Is your lady romantic? That's a dead silence. That means a no.
That doesn't mean no. It doesn't
okay.
mean no.
Y'all
it doesn't
thinking about it?
Mean. Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, that's. I mean, you know, again, the effort is there. But there's sometimes where I don't see it. I don't see it in how I want it to be.
Yeah.
So maybe I could be selfish thinking about me, and she could be trying her best. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to say it's a no. I'm going to say she does try, and a lot of times she's successful. But there's just certain things that, you know, certain things that I want a lot of times it doesn't come across as being romantic. So it's kind of like a 50-50.
Yep, I think that goes back also again to, you know, what you shared with us and your wife shared tonight, you know, the love languages. You know, she hit on the fact that yours was quality time.
Yeah.
So, of course, if she is able to demonstrate that, you would feel that she's romantic. But if she's not able to speak your love language or know what that is specifically, then the effort may be there, as the gentleman just said, but you might not necessarily see it. Because for me, if somebody says, is my wife romantic? Yeah. You know, but it varies because my love language is, you know, service. You need to do something.
Yeah.
I need to see you doing things. And then I know, oh, okay, yeah, wow, she loves me. That's it, you know. If you want to buy me something or take me out to dinner, I could care less about that stuff. I can make my own dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's stuff where I need to see you doing something. That's the what would make me say, wow, she's romantic. You know, she folded up the clothes. She cleaned up the kitchen. You know, she cleaned the house. She cleaned the bathroom. You know, that, yes, wow, she's romantic. That's what works for me. So it all depends on, you know, what you deem as romantic.
Have you read the book, brother?
How about this? Going out of their way to do something that's very important to you. Just
wow.
like you said, a service.
Yep.
Certain things that you say all day long, well, you got to do this. Remember, taking care of your pet peeve. That could be one of the things.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, and again, and I'm the recycle bin guy. Because I didn't know, you know, and I'll tell the story again. She started a new project. Let's start recycling. And I'm like, what? I'm throwing my stuff in the trash like I always do. We got the trash man to come pick the trash up. She says, no, I'm going to think green. Let's start. And I thought it was some garbage. I was like, yeah, here we go again. We starting something different. She done got on the internet or talked to a coworker or whatever the case may be. You know, I played it down. Then she says, when you go to the dump, bring me a couple recycle bins. So I went and did what I was told. I brought some recycle bins and said, if you want to have fun with these things, you can have fun with them. You know, so, you know. But anyway, make a long story short, she's throwing everything in there, taking my stuff that I've put in the trash, out of the trash, in the recycle bin. So she's serious about this thing. But I still didn't pay any attention to it. So one day I came home from work and the recycle bins were full. And I said, all right, let me go down and take these to the end of the day. And I got a pretty long driveway, so I had to drag them down the street. I didn't think anything of it. But when we went to our marriage maintenance with our pastor, she brought it up as something that was important to her that I did because it was important to her. And I never understood it until after that point. I was like, wait a minute. Me taking those recycle bins really push your button? She says, yeah, turn me on because that was important to me and you took an interest in it.
Good words.
Wow. I never would have known.
Yeah.
But I think the key word that you just said is that romance is them, that you took an interest.
I took it
personally.
And it's vice versa. It's vice versa. But I'm gonna help y'all out because it's 10:45, and before we close this thing down for the night, if I were to ask y'all, you know, to write out a script of what your lady could do to show you some love and appreciation and be romantic, how would your script read? How would it read? Let me paint this picture for y'all, fellas. Let me paint this picture for y'all.
Hold on, Roddy.
Yeah.
Play that music again.
Which one?
The porno music.
Yeah, the porno music. Play that again.
No, I got something. brother, I got something better. Listen to this, fellas. I'm right up your alley. Listen to this. Your body cold is I'm going to help y'all, because I wrote out a script, too. Check it. You come home from a long day's work. The kids are at grandma's house. The fireplace is on. She's sitting in the living room in some new lingerie or wearing nothing but one of your dress shirts, just waiting for you to get home. Hold on. Let me stop, because some of y'all guys getting too excited tonight. Y'all tell me, how would your script read? I need a volunteer. How would your script read? Peyton, still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
How would your script read, brother? Get your thoughts together. How would your script read? Tell the brothers. You ready? You got your thoughts together? All right.
How would my script?
Go ahead.
Be pretty simple. I think we would probably do something in the yard together. A service oriented, you know, whether it would be something from cutting the grass. Like today, I came home and cut the grass, and I kept saying to myself, "I had somebody help me bag this." But I was gonna go ahead and tackle that myself. So it would probably be something along those lines, and then coming back in. You know, from feeding our child, and it would be service stuff. It would be things where we were actively engaged and we were hands on. That would be my script.
Good words.
That was perfect, and right to the music too. That was great. Anybody else have any other ideas they would like to share about how to be romantic? Anybody else? Y'all ain't got no ideas? How to be romantic?
I got a few ideas, but like I said, I'm gonna go as far as the person that I am, you know. I'm gonna look at it like this. I'm gonna come up to you like this.
All
right. Me personally, I know my woman's coming over to my crib, and I'm already gonna have the evening plan. First, we're gonna start off with a nice little candlelight dinner, and from there, I'm gonna have a tray of rose petals into my living room. And they're going to be shaped as far as in the heart there, where we can slow dance inside of that.
Okay, we get it. That's good words. But y'all, why I asked that question is y'all brothers know how to be romantic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just like the brothers say, you have the rose petals, the candlelit dinner, you know. But my brother, you single, right? You single right now? My brother, is speaking? Yeah, you single, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you, brother. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Shouldn't these guys just stop complaining and be grateful for having someone to romance?
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
You just whipped my load of knees, brother.
Right. Tell him, my single brother, shouldn't these guys stop complaining about her and just be glad that they have
Who's
someone.
Who's complaining? Ain't nobody complaining. He didn't complain.
That might be the reason why the brother's single. You don't know.
Oh, man.
He's grateful for not being in the relationship.
Good words.
He might be taking a breather. You never know, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I just had to drop that on y'all before we shut this thing down. But, you know, literally going back, you know, because we're getting close to shutdown time, going back to the definition of romance and being romantic, this is going to really trip y'all out. And I saved this for last. Some synonyms. Y'all know what a synonym means, right?
Right.
Yes, it means the words are the same thing. It means that it's, you know, similar meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Synonyms for romance or being romantic. Check this. This is going to trip y'all out. Synonyms for being romantic: extravagant, an exaggeration, imaginary, fictitious, improbable, unrealistic, impractical. So why would being romantic be thought of as these things? Imaginary, fictitious, unrealistic, impractical. Why would those be synonyms for romance?
Because it doesn't exist.
Mm.
I mean, it's make-believe.
Mm. Speak on it, brother.
It's as hokey-pokey as Valentine's Day. did you hear them words? Those words, the words sound exhausting. Imagine
it. Yeah, let me read them again.
Extraordinary. I mean, those are just crazy.
Yeah, imaginary, fictitious, improbable, impractical, unrealistic.
That one right there is just a soul crusher. Unrealistic?
Yes.
In the world, what's romantic about trying to be unrealistic?
I think that's half the fun of it, gentlemen. I mean, that's part of what it is that keeps the spark going.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to exist every single day in the same mundane humdrum, day to day, day to day. So, you know, that's why people do some of the things that they do to keep the spark going. I mean, being unrealistic is not such a bad thing, provided that, you know, there's no, you know, negative consequences. But if you think about being, you know, with that definition, with those synonyms for romance, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong, in my opinion, with any of that. You know, if you are with your woman and you create an environment or a world where she can cut loose, where she can be, I don't know, the queen of Egypt and you're going to sail down the Nile or something like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a little imagination and being unrealistic in the romantic part of your life. I mean, if you look at the Song of Solomon, I mean, her belly is not like, it's not a heap of wheat. It is not bread. Her breasts are not gazelles, but he compares that to it, and he likens it to it because it's imaginary, and it paints a picture for her that lets her see herself in a way that is different from how she sees herself when she looks in the mirror every day. That is creating fantasy. That is creating an image. That is creating something unrealistic, but, man, she soaks it all up, and she pours all that love and affection back out on him. So there ain't nothing wrong with it in my book.
Mm-hmm. And what the whole definition was saying, brother, is that literally, being romantic is thought of as being unrealistic. So the whole thought is that you're not going to be romantic. That's improbable. That's what it's getting at. You know, he ain't going to do that. Peyton ain't going to be romantic. It's fictitious, imaginary. It ain't going to happen. That's what the synonym is saying. So the whole issue is that we have to debunk the Webster's definition, which has synonyms listed, romantic. These guys ain't gonna be romantic. That's extravagant. That's out of the ordinary. That's an exaggeration. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying.
Mm.
And it points back to us, you know, the head of households. You know?
Mm. So back to your question.
Yeah.
Since you just made that statement, so it's not 50-50, the whole romance piece. It is what, then? It's
100%.
The head of household should be 100
That's
romantic.
Right. That's okay. Right. And what it goes back to is that, you know, I brought my wife on at 10 o'clock, and I brought her on for a specific reason because, you know, she mentioned that we've been reading the books. But the fact is, because I clean out the garage, because I've done those service acts, as the brother mentioned, that's why she was like, you know what, I'm going to plan something for Rodney. So I took it on me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do these things, which makes her happy. And then it's reciprocal. I got it back. So well, I was, but whereas before, fellas, we had some rough times. And I'm just waiting. And actually, I forced her to take me out one night for date night. You know, we had the kids take it. I forced her. I said, you're going to plan it because I'm sick of always planning it. And it was the most miserable night we had because she was just like, we just wasn't in a place where she was happy to be sitting across from the dinner table with me. And I was excited. You know, I'm like, I ain't got to plan it. You know, she drove. She picked the spot. You know, dropped the kids off. I made her do everything. And she was miserable. It was the worst date night we ever had.
Mm. Took her out of her comfort zone.
Exactly. Whereas now, she told me, fellas, and I didn't mention this earlier, but she told me, like, about, you know, early in the week, she said, I'm taking you out this weekend. I was like a kid in a candy store. And then as we were riding, I didn't know where we were going. I said, honey, I don't care if you take me to McDonald's Play Place. I'm going to be happy.
Mm.
I said that. And she was like, Rodney, stop playing. I said, you know what? Long as I'm with you, the kids ain't with. I don't care if we go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal. Because it was all her. She did. She had the kids taken care of. She's negotiating at her job. Like, look, you know, you got kids, we got kids, we can switch it up. Because I need to go out with my husband. I need to romance my husband. Because he needs quality time. Whereas before, I'm like, you need to do it. You need to take me out. And it was miserable. But now, the onus was on her. She took the responsibility and accountability. She said, you know what? My husband needs this. But we're in a different place now. You know, that's heavy, man. Heavy, heavy, heavy.
And not only that, but you're missing, you didn't even say the most important part. Now that she sees how you reacted to that and how important it was to you, she's even willing to do it again.
There you go. She said that. I asked her that. You're absolutely
she said
right, brother.
It.
Yeah.
She said it. I'll do it again.
Yeah. And that'll be time number six, you know. But the one thing about it is when they do things, you know, especially my wife, since I know that she doesn't, you know, plan everything, literally, I was excited. I was like, I don't care what. So I was so excited to go play putt-putt golf at $5 a head and go walk on a bike trail because I was with my wife. I mean, it was just so exciting. She planned it, everything. I mean, it was just so, such a wonderful thing. We just been in such a good place, you know, with the book. And I'll speak more on that later. But, you know, I got one more thing, and then we're going to close it down. I'm going to take y'all back. You know, I've been DJing a little bit, but I want to take y'all back really quickly. And y'all might remember this, some of you old heads. But 60 seconds, fellas. When I think about my feeling can't explain why after all this time my heart still feels pain. When I look at you, memories of love like no one before.
You know you're wrong.
He wrong for that.
He wrong for that.
That's my game.
You got to let that play, brother.
Take me back to old times.
Don't make me go wake my wife up.
Saturday Love, fellas. Don't y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Because primarily, you know, I know you know it, Tony. I know you know it, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one thing about it is that, you know, he's talking about memories. You know, my Saturday, Monday, Sunday, Monday. I mean, come on, fellas. That's where it's at, man. Because you know why we should be romantic? Because it's vital and essential to our relationship.
Right.
Like oxygen. It's like food. You know, we got to do it. We got to do it. But y'all, any closing comments before we shut it down? About
yes.
Romance? Go ahead, brother.
Yes. Yes. I don't know how to put this. I just must. Doesn't it depend on the person that you're married to in reference to how you're going to be able to handle romance, if I'm saying this the right way.
Yeah, you're going to have to restate that.
Certain people, you're not going to have the same romance. Okay, when we start talking about soulmates,
mm-hmm.
you know, people use that term a lot. And they say, okay, well, this person's my soulmate. And then some people say, yeah, well, you know, I married this person because they're a good provider. Or I married this person because we had a child together. Or whatever the case may be. But wouldn't that have something to do with whether the romance is successful? Whether you're with the right person or you just married someone just because it was the right thing to do?
So the terms of your marriage essentially set the tone and the backdrop for how romance flows.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, yeah. Thanks
wow.
for breaking that up. I mean, you know, breaking that down. I mean, because we hear a lot about lack of romance in a marriage.
Yep.
We hear about lack of communication, like just the lack of. And couldn't that be the cause of not being with the right person? And I'm going to say the right person for lack of a better word, because I'm pretty sure there's another way to put it. But the person, you hear about people getting married for the wrong reasons, like I was saying earlier. Like I always say that about celebrity marriages.
Yeah.
They marry just because they understand each other. But we know that's not enough.
Right. And I think that's where you just answered your own question, is that if you didn't get married for the right reasons, then romance ain't your issue.
You know, exactly. Yes, I agree on that. I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's deeper than the whole romance thing. Is that, you know, a whole bunch of things going to be out of whack, you know, as far as that's concerned. Like you said, celebrities, I mean, they, you know, they just getting together, you know, because they, whatever. It ain't, you know, nothing built. They ain't built on no foundation. That's why they break up all the time. And it has nothing to do with romance.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then we could take it one step further and we can talk about unequally yoked as well. You know, and then you're trying to incorporate romance into that.
Exactly.
And there's so many other issues, underlying issues, that you know, put a halt to the romance. But we still think, oh, well, we can try this and we can try that, and none of these things work.
Exactly. And, fella, you're right where we need to be at 11:02. It's a little bit late, but we can roll that right into open mic. But we'll shut this
That's
thing
right.
down, you know, and the conclusion. Fellas, being romantic is about noticing and doing the little things. Anybody can remember anniversaries and birthdays or plan a great date once a year. But it takes a real romantic to leave little notes on a windshield, give her flowers for no reason, or call her at work just to tell her you love her. And that's how you keep that Mrs. Hyde from showing up, which is a tie back to Patrice's topic from last week. Finally, fellas, never use romance as a way just to get sex from your wife. She'll soon start to feel that the only reason you're being romantic is to get something in return. Of course, if some fun time in the sack occurs after a romantic gesture, so be it. But don't make this your only goal. Women pick up on these things very easily and very quickly. But we know that Ephesians 5:25 instructs us husbands to love our wives as Christ loves the church. But how does Christ love us? He's passionate about us. In fact, he's so passionate about you that he gave his life for you. But I digress. Back to romance. Romance is a vital part of your relationship and is one of those things that we take for granted when it's there, but we miss it when it's gone. So don't take her for granted, as my single brother so graciously told y'all. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the virtual talk show for married men, for men, brought to you by the head of household.
Right.
You know, we change the name every now and then, but we hope you enjoyed the show. And next week, you can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week's topic will be... to be determined. Check the website. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, www.householdstress.com. Again, that website is householdstress.com.
You're now. freedom of about the country.